Hey there, welcome to the Impatient Entrepreneur Podcast, a show where we hear from entrepreneurs and business owners who are chomping at the bit to make their mark on the world. I'm your host, Lauren Quidar Cockrell. Now, let's hurry up and get to the good stuff. Hi, friends. If you are a dog lover like me, you will love today's episode. Brady Folk is a dog trainer here in Texas, and I cannot wait to hear his entrepreneurial journey. Brady, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I want your guests to know if they have a dog, great. We're going to talk about how they can listen better and get maybe your dream dog. And if you don't have a dog, we're going to talk about leadership and overcoming things and my whole journey. There's lots to it. So I'm excited to be here. I love, obviously, animals, and I help empower owners, dogs, puppies to have more success at home and around town while still having fun. And yeah, that's me.
Awesome. Well, cool. And if we can mix business and pups, I'm all for it. Okay, so first question, Brady, are you an impatient entrepreneur?
You know, I am. I think there are so many things that I want sooner than what is happening. And I'm getting better at mapping out things and planning things and appreciating the steps that I take. Mm-hmm. Because people tell me all the time, you're a dog trainer, you have a ton of patience. And I'm like, I understand why you say that. And yet I have a different viewpoint of what patience is. And for me, I'm not really being patient. I'm kind of being impatient because I need to do a lot of stuff when I take a dog for a 2-week boarding train. Like their owners, like one of the owners I was talking to, she was telling me about how she hasn't been able to keep up with things and the stories. And I was like, what would you say to me if I told you those stories, like, while I had your dog? She's like, oh, I'd find a new dog trainer. I was like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and you, how long have you been in this business?
This is my seventh year.
Seventh year. That's right. Okay. Yeah. And how did you get into dog training?
So I grew up with animals, and I'm the oldest of six, so big family. And we grew up on 13 acres, so lots of land. So these animals were kind of wild. They would run away often and like disappear for a while, and would get into the trash can. And they knew not to poop or pee inside the house, which was good. But other than that, they didn't do that much. So when I was 22, when I had my first big boy job, it was like, this is a great time for me to get a dog. And all my friends were like, don't do it, man. Like, you're not going to be able to see us and hang out with us. I was like, no, it's going to be fine. It was not fine. It was, it was wild. But all I thought I had to do was like, give him the best food, let him sleep in bed with me. He had like free rein in the house because he hated his crate, obviously. And I remember one day I hung out with my friends because I hadn't seen him in a while. And I was there for maybe 2 hours, and I came home. And the first thing that hit me was just this terrible smell. And I was like, oh no. And then I opened my door, and then like, I see just the chaos, and there's a chunk of my carpet missing. And he got into my new Tools of Titans, Tim Ferriss book. And like, that was a brand new book I had just gotten. I was like, you couldn't eat the old books, man. Anywho, that was my rock bottom. And from there, I had to go find some mentors. And I found Susan Garrett. She's a brilliant dog trainer, a world agility champion. And I wanted to find someone who has not just done this with one dog, has done it with multiple dogs. And the way that they teach is elegant, because there's many different ways you can teach dogs how to do something. And she does it all through games, which I love, because I played baseball and soccer, and I love playing games. So that's really how I got into it. And then once I found her, I started teaching my dog how to come and call, because that's like a safety thing, how to love his crate and like me be able to leave without him having separation anxiety and destroying things, you know? And since then, I've gone on to train service dogs to open up a fridge and get a water bottle out and bring it to their owner in their wheelchair and pick up a credit card, and simple things like sit down, roll over, like pedicure, please. I'm teaching a dog how to ride a skateboard right now, my current puppy. So there's so many different ways you can take this. And right now I'm helping people get their dream dogs and overcome some problems, whatever it may be, kind of like some of the ones I was dealing with, and kind of speed up time for them.
Nice. So in your business, is it just you? Do you have a team? What does that look like?
it's just me and my girlfriend right now. She helps me with like scheduling podcasts and admin stuff. And it's really me doing like the marketing on the background and like the website building and then the sales. So right now I have a 3-month program and I got everyone. We're at month 2 of the 8 clients that I have in this program in Austin. And now I got to switch back to sales and start getting people signed up for like next session's classes. So good problems to have.
Fill that pipeline.
Exactly.
And you only work with folks locally or do you have any, you know, Zoom based clients or anything like that?
You know, I have clients in San Diego that I'll work with via Zoom and some clients I'm flying out to California next month to go do a board and train at, an old friend's house, really. And they got a new puppy. So I'm going to be there for 2 weeks and like train them and like hang out with them too. And I've done that for a few other people, like in Washington, DC and South Carolina. But for something that's maybe not that for people, I'm starting a book club where we can check out some of my favorite books and kind of discuss them and break them down and see how it applies to their dog.
Okay. And what do you see for your business as it grows? You know, what's sort of like a, you know, 1 year, 5 year, 10 year vision as you create these new programs and everything?
So big picture, I'm partnering. So I'm a big Tony Robbins person and I've done firewalks and I help volunteer for the firewalk team. And I partner with Tony Robbins' ex-fire team captain, Dave Albin. He's also a podcaster and he was his captain for 20 years. And now he's gone on to do corporate events for NASA and Google and Heineken and all sorts of different people. And now he's pivoting to helping veterans and single mothers and children and first responders and doing firewalks for them and giving them this breakthrough moment. And it's called Operation Do No Harm. And one really cool thing is like, I love building the fires and walking and I understand the importance of that and signing an agreement saying that you'll never cause harm to yourself, right? And then after that, having a dog would be really cool to help wake you up sometimes because you got to take them on walks, you got to take them out to the bathroom, you got to feed them, you got to train them. And then also some of them have disabilities, so there'd be good emotional support dogs or service dogs. So my part in this is going to be to partnering with rescues and finding select dogs and then training them. So that's my big like 5-year plan, right? This is kind of like in the making right now. So my current plan is I need to find land to start building construction so I can start taking on more dogs and have more of a home base for what I want to do.
Gosh, well, Austin will be an interesting place to do that. a little landlocked, I guess, with some of the development, but you're a little bit outside that. Is that right?
Yeah, because I think I'm going to go east a little bit. I was looking at like Georgetown area because I'm in Pflugerville, Round Rock. But the 35 sucks and they're doing construction and it's gotten even worse. So people are like, go east. Like it's easier to go out there kind of by the Tesla and the 95 or the 45 and 130.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Gotcha. A little Texas geography for some of our friends who aren't from here.
I've only been here a year and a half, so it's all kind of new to me. So I'm figuring out all these things.
Yeah, well, avoid I-35 if you can help us. So as you are creating your company or running your company, rather, it's already created. You mentioned Tony Robbins, you mentioned Tim Ferriss. Are you a book guy? Are you a podcast guy? All the above? I mean, what do you like to, how do you fuel yourself to think of ideas and make your business stronger?
Yeah, all of the above. So we volunteer often. So we're doing 2 UPWs, one in Germany, one in New Jersey this year. And I'm a volunteer for Leadership Academy and I was in his Stanford study last year. So I've accessed all of his programs and stuff. So I'm in a lot of different communities that are constantly challenging me and making connections. And then I love books too. I have so many books right now. I'm reading Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And what? Tell me.
Interesting. That's an old one.
Yeah. No, it's an oldie but goodie. We have a relationship coach that recommended it. And so like all these things tie in and I love rereading books too. So another fun one, like this book club, Don't Shoot the Dog. That's another great one because you know, what a lot of people do is they're like, I just got to get rid of this dog or I got to get a divorce. which is a valid option, but it's just one of eight options, which the book goes through. But yeah. Anywho, I could talk about books for a long time. What's your favorite book?
yeah, that'd be like, what's your favorite kid?
Yeah.
I love books. You sort of touched on it. Is there anything else that you're creating right now, like programs or services or things like that?
So the book club is the newest edition that I've been reaching out and doing, because I have an online program and an inner circle. It is interesting teaching online and people buying programs and stuff. So it's just finding which kind of way meets people's needs the best, and having some accountability and being able to ask me questions, and then being able to have a book to refer to. That's been my current idea of how to serve people. And then I've been doing a lot of speaking recently. So I'm constantly developing new like mini courses and stuff based, maybe not around dog. It's around dog training, obviously, but leadership and speaking and other things that relate to dog training.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Is there anything you're particularly impatient about right now?
Yeah, the whole process, right? Like I signed up for a speaking a speaking group. I'm getting coached for speaking too. And like the process was you'll make $10,000 in 90 days. Which is a bold promise. And I have signed up new clients, and I've reframed how I sell my program now and some of the things that I do. But yet I haven't been paid $10,000 on physical stages. So I'm like, I was having a dream. I was on another podcast talking about dreams, and I had this reoccurring dream where I had to be at the airport at a certain time. And yet I'm getting closer and closer, and I'm like, oh, I forgot this. And I'm like trying to remember everything to put in my bag. And then every time I miss the freaking plane, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so much anxiety. And there would be a couple of times I'd like make it to the airport and like as the plane's leaving, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I talked to this dream guy, and he was like, this, maybe it's because he thought it was like about dog training and not training a dog fast enough. And I'm like, nah, I'm really confident. Like I get the dog from A to Z. Like I know how to do that. Then I told him about the speaking thing. He's like, maybe you've put a little bit too much weight on yourself and you haven't hit this goal yet of doing it in 3 months. So, and since then I like had this reframe, and I was able to breathe and understand that things are still happening in the background as I continue to work, you know, the dream has gone away, which is good.
That's a very stressful dream.
So stressful. Multiple times a week.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I've ever had a recurring nightmare like that before. That sounds horrible.
Yeah. And it wasn't even scary. Cause I've had like scary dreams before, but this one was just like so much anxiety. And the other day we went to a wedding in Cancun, and I literally had this feeling of like my dream. And I was like, this will not happen in real life, Brady. That was a dream. I am in control, and I will get in the Uber and I will leave whatever I need to leave because it's not that important. And I'll just go. Always like, what's so important that I need? Like,
yes. And like, there are lots of flights to Cancun every day. This is going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly. I could get a different flight. He suggested that too. It's brilliant. There's so many options available.
At the time,
it feels like you have to do one. Like you have to do it one way, right? That's a big challenge in my mind.
Yes. Like there's one path. Well, you're following a methodology. So it's like, there's one path to success. I was literally just talking to someone about this yesterday. And a colleague of mine was asking if I'd ever hired a coach in my field of PR and marketing. And I said, no, I've had professional coaches before who've been tremendously helpful, but I would worry about if I hired a coach in my field, I would feel like I had to follow every step that they laid out for me in order to be quote unquote successful. And that would really tie me up in knots, worrying about doing it quote unquote right or wrong or whatever. And that, you know, one of the biggest lessons I've learned in the past few years is I get to do this however I want. You know, I really get to define what success looks like for me, and B, I get to decide the path that I'm going to take to get there. And, you know, there might be tools and templates and best practices to follow, but I can mix them all together. I can do what I want, you know, as long as I'm not being unethical or unlawful. But you know, that was so freeing knowing that there's not one right way to do something.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's so empowering. Yeah. It's like you feel
exactly.
You can breathe. Like sometimes yes, I hear stories about my girlfriend and her company. I was like, well, thank goodness I'm my own boss.
Yes. I get to tie myself up in knots.
Yeah, exactly. There's still problems. Trust me.
Yes. Okay, so let's switch gears for a second. So you've been in this business for 7 years. Has there been anything in this journey where when it happened, you felt like the rug had totally been pulled out from underneath you and you weren't sure how you were going to survive? But in looking back, you realize it's probably one of the best things that could ever happen to you?
Yeah, there's been multiple moments like that. One of the biggest was I watched on camera as my roommate kicked and punched my dog, and it was insane, right? It was insane, and there's so many details of like, and then he went back inside and started doing dishes. I went out there and confronted him and called the police. There was a whole thing that's gone on with it, but that, and I realized he had been doing this for a little while, and I just had no idea he'd do it after I left for work, right?
Oh wow!
And I realized being a leader is more than getting results. That was his way of like leading. And you know, there's three different ways you can lead. You can use intimidation and pain. You can use bribes or incentives, and you can use inspiration and growth. And all three of them are going to work in their own way, and all three of them come with consequences. But only one gives you the connection with your dog that you're really craving. And my siblings told me a story like a year ago or so about when I was younger. I'm the oldest of six, like I mentioned. So there was a time when I was babysitting like most of my life, and they weren't doing what I said to do. So they said I took their crayons, put them in a pot and melted them. And I was like, that was me. I don't remember that. That's not me now. I deleted that memory. And so that was kind of like how I would lead as a kid. I would use intimidation and like fear, like do what I say or I'm telling mom. And and that's one way of leading. And then when I got my puppy, I used incentives and bribes. So he slept in my bed and I gave him all the best treats. And that didn't teach him how not to eat my carpet or how to communicate to go to the bathroom. So finally, I discovered a more elegant way of leading, which is through inspiration, through growth. And I'm sure we all can remember the leaders that inspired us and rewarded us for growing and becoming more. And I've realized it's more about how you want to be remembered. And when you get furious, get curious. That's like the biggest piece of advice that I've taken away is there's so many ways to see the problem, and you got to train your brain to see it a specific way.
I love that. It's extremely transferable for humans. you know, intimidation and bribery or you know, carrot-based growth, leadership, those are both immature and unsustainable leadership practices. You know, you're never going to have a really great team long term if those are either of you or both. I've certainly had some roller coaster leader, or well, I guess bosses, not really leaders, before who vacillated between intimidation and bribery. But that inspiration and growth model, that is sustainable and that is long term, and you can really build culture on that.
And it takes understanding their world and understanding where they are in their developmental journey and what they really crave and love. Because some people love money. Some people just want to go home early. Some people like they want to switch jobs and try something different. They want more variety in their life. And dogs are the same way. It's each dog is different. Some dogs, I get a lot of fire dogs, which are, they love to move. They love variety. And I'm a fire child too. I'm a Gemini. So you can imagine, you tell me, don't press the button, I'm probably going to press the fucking button. So I get a lot of dogs like that, and I relate to them well, and I understand their world, and I get it. You got a lot of energy. Let's direct this towards doing something. And that connecting and understanding the world and then understanding what they love are two very important things.
Yeah. It's hard work because it is individualized, and seeing people or dogs as individuals versus, you know, everybody's the same or a line item or something like that. But it certainly pays off.
But it's like hard compared to what? Like, compared to working my old jobs? No.
Touche, touche. Right, right. It's do or do not, but you know, you're going to end up with a result. Which one do you want?
Mm-hmm. So this is, I get to do this. I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So speaking of when you were younger and that leader of just six children, was there something where growing up, just people made you feel like a part of you was a weakness, but now as an adult and a business owner and leader that you realize that what was once labeled a weakness is actually your strength?
Yeah, there are quite a few things. Like I was always like going off and doing my own thing or like talking a lot. I would always like read Yahoo stories and like go and share them with people. And sometimes I would bore people. And yet I learned how to like take an information and like tell a story through it. And it's helped me now as I communicate more of my experiences and the things I read through books and online about dogs and leadership and parenting and translate that and communicate that to my clients. So I was told you are to be seen, not heard a lot as a child.
Are you tuning in, listeners? Yeah. You hear me now?
Oh, so now it is a superpower.
Yeah,
when you absolutely own your voice, you own your power. So it's a very it's a fun thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it. So as we get toward the end here, is there something that you really like to tell people, you know, give someone advice for how they can make their lives better or stronger by doing this one thing today?
This one thing today, you know, okay, this could be a thing. What I would suggest is I had a dog, her name is Fuchsia. And when I first got her, she didn't like treats. She would bite people. She was afraid of people. She didn't get along well with her cats at home and she would run away a lot too. And I started working with these people. And at the moment I was working at like a dog training facility, I just started there and they wanted me to put an e-collar on her and start doing these things. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. So they ended up letting me go. And then I just partnered with this person just outside of it. It ended up working well. And what I want to share is when I went to their home and when I walked in, and I'm part of a big family, I can handle a lot of mess, but this place was really cluttered and tight and tightly packed. So when you're walking through, you're really close to people. And the dogs and the cats would have to like squeeze by each other a lot of the times. And would sometimes get in fights. And when they would go outside, she would immediately like go and run and go look for squirrels. And if they called her, she would like run around and they would play a game of chase with her. So they would chase her around and it was kind of fun. And then she didn't really like food that much either. So she's like, we don't know how to like train her to like the cats. Cause I was like, well, you got to give her something she likes. So what I did is I took them through a process and through some rituals of cleaning your house more often and getting them their own places where they could have a safe place so they can enjoy their meals and just like hang out if they want to, because they didn't have that. They were kind of just like hanging out on couches together, you know, where there was open space. So we cleared up this space and we got it cleaned up. And then we found something that she really loves. She loves tuna. And sometimes it takes thinking outside the box, because if you were to hire me at your company, like if you were to pay me with $1 bills or $5 bills, you're not going to get me to do that much. But if you pay me with $100 bills, or if you give me the freedom to go off and do what I want, you know, so you got to know what's leverage points for her. And then finally we changed from them chasing her to her chasing them. So when she would run away, they would run back inside and come shut the door and we'd have a party inside. And then she'd run to the door and be like, what are you guys doing? Like, oh, hey, nice to see you. And then we'd open the door and she'd run. And then we'd go back inside and we have a party again. And she's like, why are you guys partying without me? And after a few minutes, she's like, oh, it's better if I stay with them rather than run away from them. So I tell you all this because rituals are very important and they're opportunities for transformation. Find some rituals that you can install. If it's cleaning your house on a regular basis or playing a game consistently, and that'll help you create more harmony at home. And then taking ownership for like, how can I make this better, is a big question that you can ask, and creating holistic solutions for them.
That's so beautiful and also transferable to humans. Like I need one of these rituals for myself.
Yeah. Even if it's just looking in the mirror and say like, I love you, Brady. I love my life and I'm so blessed. Like I do that every day and it's game changing.
Nice. Oh, that's really sweet. Okay, Brady, we're wrapping up. Where can people find you and do business with you, whether they're in Austin or Texas or around the country or the world? How can folks find you?
Yeah, really fun. I'm training my eight-month-old puppy to ride a skateboard right now. And so I bought a kid's skateboard and I thought it was going to be like half the size of a regular one, but it's like a quarter of the size. It's super small. Mm-hmm. So we had to get another one to like transition her to the small one, but we're teaching her how to ride the skateboard right now. So what I'd like people to do is follow me on Instagram and TikTok and they can keep seeing this journey. And then you can DM me dog training and I'll send you a couple of resources to get started on your dog training journey. Some of the things I spoke about here and getting your dog just to listen better and how to lead them a little bit more effectively and elegantly. So DM me dog training and my Instagram and TikTok handle is N is in Nancy, D is in Drew, dog training. So ND dog training.
Awesome. And we'll put those links in the show notes too.
Brilliant.
All right. Well, thank you, Brady. It's been great.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks for listening to The Impatient Entrepreneur. Love the podcast? Be sure to share it with a friend or colleague or give us a 5-star review on Apple. You can also chat with us on Instagram or Facebook at The Impatient Entrepreneur Pod. Want to star on a future episode? Head over to TheImpatientEntrepreneurPod.com to inquire. Thank you to the team at Quidar & Co. for believing in me and bringing this podcast to life. And thank you to Carson Childers for mixing and editing this episode. Can't wait to see you next time.